So I have the awesome privilege of bringing a message at this point. And as I was preparing today, there was something that really just stuck out in my heart that I wanted to bring to you today. And we've been on this series called Christmas at Church on the Move, and we've talked about a variety of different things. And today, what I want to talk to you about is live hope-filled by God. Hope-filled by God. And we're living in a time that no other generation has ever lived in. Well, we know that, right? Because they weren't here. And but we're living in such a dark time, and I've not seen so many people in a state of hopelessness as I have in the day that we're living in now. And the good thing is that we don't have to be in a place of hopelessness. And so what I want to do is I want to share some scripture with you, share some thoughts with you, and then we will proceed into our candle lighting. And then our young people from the, elementary all the way up are presenting something with you for you at the close of today's service. But I want us to go to Luke chapter 2, and let's look at this together. Luke chapter 2, and let's break open the word of life. It says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people.'" Now, I looked up that word great. That word great in the Greek comes from the word mega, which means abundant and greatness. And the Bible says that that the angel brought great news, a good tidings that with great joy, a mega joy, abundance of joy, a greatness of joy. And so there's great things that come about from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? But I want us to look at this out of the Passion Translation. It says this. It says, "But the angel reassured them, saying, 'Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news that the world has ever heard, and it is for everyone everywhere.'" In other words, when Jesus came to this earth, and the news of him coming to this earth and the gospel coming to this earth was given for everyone everywhere. It was meant for every human being to hear. From the worst to the worst, from the best to the best, every one of us needed to hear the gospel, because not any one of us measure up in our flesh. And so what is that news? That news is that we can have hope in Jesus. We can have hope in him. And I want you to see this out of Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." So we receive hope from the scriptures. And I'm here to tell you that hope has the ability to change your life. And we're going to talk about the difference between biblical hope and human hope, natural hope. And Matthew chapter 12, verse 21, it says this, "And his name will be the hope of all the world." The name of Jesus is the hope of all the world. He still is the hope of the world. Amen? And that's why we gather today. And so I want to talk to you about live hope-filled by God. The first thing that I want us to understand is that hope for the future always gives us faith for the present. When we have hope for the future, when we have hope that is biblically based, it's always going to give us faith for the present. Hebrews chapter 1 says it this way. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now notice here, it says, now faith is, which faith is now, but hope is future tense. Hope is future tense. It's not a natural hope where you're just wishing and you're wanting something to happen, but is it going to happen? Now, biblical hope is so different. Biblical hope is seeing, it's imagining, it's dreaming. We had that kind of hope for our land. We saw it, we imagined it, we dreamed it, that it would happen in our future, and it happened. Amen? Amen. And so that's this hope that we're talking about. Biblical hope also means to anticipate. It means to anticipate with pleasure. It means an expectation or a confidence that it's going to happen. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Let me explain it this way. As people begin to gather in here this morning, it started to get warm. And so my son turned down the air so it would cool down. And that thermostat is not what cooled this place down. That thermostat is a picture of our hope. It gives you the desired end, what you want it to do. But I'm going to tell you what really made it happen. It's the units, the AC units that made it happen. That's like our faith. Our hope is our thermostat. It sets what we want, and then our faith goes into action to make it happen. And so what happens is that our faith or our hope for the future will give us faith for the present. And it will, I almost got a rope. Your faith is like a rope. If you could picture my wife, stand up, baby. If you picture my wife, you know, I had faith for her. She said, poof, after she convinced me. No, I had faith for her. So she was my hope. My faith was the rope that pulled her to me. Do you get it? And so your hope is the thermostat. It's that's in the future, but your faith already has hold of it. It's already yours. Matter of fact, if you look this up in the Amplified, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. It actually says that faith is the title deed of things hoped for. Yeah. Your title deed, it shows ownership. It's yours. You've got it. When you got the promise of God, when faith comes by hearing the word of God, when you have the promise of God, it is yours. You grab hold of it, even though your hope for it is in the future. You still have it. You have the title deed to it. Amen? And I could expound on that, but I don't have the time. The first thing that I wanted you to see is that hope for the future gives you faith for the present. Now, the second thing I want you to see is this, is that hope for the future gives you perspective for the present. Gives you a proper perspective for the present. If you don't have hope for the future, you're not going to have a proper perspective for the present. Your perspective determines your reality. How you perceive something determines how you see something. How you perceive something determines what's your reality. Whether it's true or not, whatever and however you perceive something is going to determine your reality in your life. Are you with me? Because you can perceive something to be really, really bad, and it really not be, but that's your reality. It could be bad to you, even though it's not a proper perspective. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, he and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now notice here, it says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured. For the joy that was set before him, he endured. His perspective was not on what was going on presently. His perspective was what's going to take place after he passes through that cross. And that was the salvation for the whole world. I've ministered to countless people. And I've ministered to people that have gone through the same scenario, the same crisis. And you'll have one person that will absolutely kick into depression. And you'll have another person that just soars through it, and he or she will flourish as a result. I mean, not as a result, but in the middle of it. And I'm going to tell you what makes the difference is perspective. And even where you are in life, sometimes if you see something as hopeless For you, that's your perspective. And that's your reality. If you see something as something, hey, something's, God's going to bring something good out of this. I say this all the time, that your worst day and your best day can be in the same day. Why? Because he's the author and the finisher. What closes one day doesn't mean that you're closed forever. He can stop. One thing can stop in your life, and he can start one another thing immediately at the same time, in the middle of a crisis. Amen. And I've through some horrible crises in my life. And I'm going to tell you, I've soared through it as a result. And I've seen God at work because of my perspective being proper. And that's because I had hope beyond today. Amen? And when people are going through some difficulties, I always go back and I remind them, this is only a vapor here on this earth. We're only here for a moment. It's here and it's gone. It's here and it's gone. In the scope of eternity, or even in the scope of our millennial reign, our thousand-year reign, when we come back as believers to reign here on this earth, this little time is nothing but a vapor. It's going to be gone in no time. And when we have that perspective, I tell you, it'll help us to soar in the middle of whatever crisis we're going through in our life. And I know some of you are going through some crisis. I know that some of you are going through situations that seem to be very, very difficult. And I'm not denying that. I believe that they are difficult at this time. But Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him because he had a hope for the future. If you have a hope for the future, you can endure whatever you're going through today. Your hope comes from the scripture. We already read that. When we get in the Word of God and we get the promises of God for our life, then we know that we're going to pass through this and we're going to see greatness on the other side. Amen?
Amen.
Third thing that I want to share with you today, and that's this, is that hope for the future gives us power for the present. Not only does it give us faith for the present, not only does it give us perspective for the present, but it also gives us power for the present. The power of God will become more real, more strong in your times of weakness than any other time. You'll see the power of God as long as you stay in hope. Abraham was given a promise. And if you want the power of God to rest upon your life, then you're going to have to have your soul anchored to the hope that comes through the scripture. Romans chapter 15 verse 13, it says, "Now may the God of all hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You know, God gave Abraham a promise. And he had every reason why not to believe that promise. But he had already had God's word on it. And as a result, even when it seemed hopeless, he hoped. And as a result, he was empowered to be able to see that promise come to pass in his life. Romans 4:18 says this. It says, "Even when there was no reason..." I'm going to read this out of the New Living. "Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have." And so God spoke to him and he says, keep the hope alive. And I'm going to say today in you, keep the hope alive. Make sure that you're keeping God's hope in your life. And as a result, you see this in verse 19 of Romans 4. It says, "In not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body as being dead when he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith." Why? Because faith gives substance to the things hoped for. He had a hope for the future, therefore he had faith for the present. Not only did he have faith for the present, he had perspective for the present. Not only did he have perspective for the present, but he had power for the present. And he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And that's what where we are today. Now, let me just say this as I bring this part into a close, and that's this, is that you and I can approximately live about 3 days without water. We can live anywhere from 4 to 6, depends on the people, the person, anywhere from 4 to 6 minutes without air. We can live anywhere from 43 to 70 days without food. But you cannot live even a second without hope. Amen. Without hope, you are destined to die. I've known many people that ended their life because they saw their future as being hopeless. They had no power for the present. I have read this before, but there was an experiment done on a couple of rats. And this experiment was performed in a laboratory to measure the motivation to live under difficult circumstances. Scientists dropped a rat in a jar of water that had been placed in total darkness. And they timed how long that animal would live before it would give up and drown. And they found that that rat usually lasted only about 3 minutes before it gave up and drowned. And then they took another rat that was just like this one, placed him in the same kind of container, except they allowed a little ray of light to shine through. And under those circumstances, that rat kept swimming 36 hours. That was more than 700 times longer than the one in the dark. Why is that? Why is it that that rat kept on? Is because it continued to have hope. And I'm here to tell you, with Jesus, there's always hope. Amen. There's always hope. John chapter 12, verse 46 says, I have come as a light into the world. He came to bring light in a dark world. That's our hope. John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, then Jesus spoke to them again and saying, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Amen. And not only did he come to bring us light, but he came and gave us light so that we could be the light of the world. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. You and I, as we celebrate Jesus on this Christmas holiday, I want us to remember that we have the hope of Jesus Christ. He is our light, and now not only is he our light, but he's given us that light so that we can take that light to this world. Amen? Would you bow your heads, please?